This morning's scripture reading comes from the fifth chapter of Luke's Gospel. Begin the reading in verse 1. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God, the noise around us interrupts our lives and fills our ears so that we are easily distracted from your word. So on this day, call us again into your way of life and then give us the courage to follow. Amen. One Monday morning, a woman turned to a friend at her office. "I went fishing with my husband this week," she said. "I did everything wrong. I'm never going again." "Wrong?" the friend said. "It's fishing. What's to do wrong?" "Everything," the woman said. "I baited the hook wrong. I tried to stand up and made the boat rock. I used the wrong lures and I talked too much. I reeled in too soon and I caught more than he did." Everybody has a fishing story. In fact, all four Gospels have their own version of this story or something very similar to it. Our passage today focuses on Simon, who is a commercial fisherman, and evidently a pretty good one. We can infer from Luke that he has two business partners, James and John. Between the three of them, they have at least two boats and a couple of large nets, which was a pretty impressive operation for those days. The crew has been out fishing all night when fish are more active in the cooler and darker water. As the sun comes up, it warms the water and the fish retreat to the depths. So Simon and his colleagues choose that time to come back in shore to clean and mend their nets, then go home for a few hours of sleep before starting all over again at sunset. But on this particular night, they've caught nothing. Not a single fish, not zip. So in addition to being exhausted, they are probably feeling pretty defeated. And I have to think they're also annoyed because, as Luke says, the crowd is pressing in to hear Jesus, probably stomping on their nets and almost certainly getting in their way. That's when Jesus steps into one of the boats and asks Simon to push off from the shore. And when Jesus asks, Simon agrees. And because he is willing, the word of God is proclaimed by the Son of God to a whole crowd of the children of God. When Jesus is done, he wants to show Simon his gratitude. "Push out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch," he says. Now, had it been me in that boat, sleep deprived, with zero income after Simon is obviously a better person than me and explains that really, if there were any fish out there, he and his colleagues would have caught them on the night shift. But even though he knows better, Simon does what Jesus asks. If you say so, I will put down the nets. And he gets his reward. So many fish, in fact, that two boats full could barely stay afloat. The catch lets Simon know that he's in the presence of greatness. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. It sounds like Isaiah in the temple, aloud read a few moments ago. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. James and John are equally impressed, so much so that once they get back to shore, Luke says all three of them leave everything to follow Jesus. Luke just tosses that word in there. But my mind is screaming, wait, what? Leave everything? Everything? That sounds impossible, if you ask me. I'm sure many of you are more adventurous than I, but I've got to think things through, weigh the consequences before I make that kind of monumental decision. In church history, legend suggests that Peter, or Simon in this passage, eventually dies after being crucified upside down. It's hard to prove historically, but it appears in at least one of the non-canonical books that narrated into the Bible. But note, Jesus does not turn to Simon Peter and say, come follow me so you can be crucified upside down. He says, put out a little way from the shore. And Simon does. Then he says, put out into the deep water. And Simon does. Then Jesus says, let down your nets for a catch. You see what's happening? All Jesus asks for is for Simon to do the next right thing. He doesn't start with the big ask, follow me and get crucified. He just asks for the next right thing. Put out from the shore. Put out into the deep water. Let down your nets. Jesus proves himself trustworthy of all those things. So when he tells Simon and James and John, from now on you will be catching people, it's not wildly ridiculous. It's just the next right thing. Years ago, not long after we graduated from college, my friend Laura moved to Knoxville, met a great guy, and asked me to be one of her bridesmaids when she and Ben were married at First Presbyterian Church. We were so young, 23, 24. She wanted to sing Greatest Thy Faithfulness at the wedding, which turned out to be a bit of a challenge because it wasn't, for some reason, in the Presbyterian hymn book at the time. I remember asking Laura, why go to the trouble? Why this hymn? And her answer was, God has been so faithful in our relationship every step of the way, and this is the next faithful step for us to take. 37 years later, I have never forgotten her. What is the next faithful step? In other words, what Laura was saying, just like Simon and James and John, was just, it's the next right thing. In a few moments, we will ordain and install most of the 15 new elders and deacons who will guide this congregation over the next 3 years. You have called and chosen these people because you see something in them that will make us more like the community Christ wants us to be. But if you ask any of them, do you know what you're getting into? The answer will be absolutely not. They don't have a clue what's ahead. But they know that this is the next right step. And we don't like it, not knowing. Before the time of Columbus, when maps were drawn of the is the only possibility. When Jesus approaches Simon, he asks him to break out of what he knows, to see beyond what he thinks is possible, and to take a chance. He asks him to have the courage to do the next right thing. I want to close with the words of a prayer from a sea captain of the 16th century who writes, "Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery. We're losing sight of living. We shall find the stars. Push back the horizons of our hopes and push us into the future in strength and courage and hope."